Let us pray together. Thank you, O Lord, for inviting us to join you here. We do not need to call you to be with us because you walk with us each breath that we take. You're ahead of us when we arrive. You go with us and you stay here to bless as the week goes on. You are in all places. But you invite us to worship you. And so we are privileged to be invited by you to this place to worship. Grant us a spirit of change of life and joy of living. And may we learn how to be the Christ-like people you are calling us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Love Divine, All Love Excelling. Page 384 in the hymnal, or the words will be on the screen.
Remain standing for the affirmation of faith, which is page 881 in your hymn book. It is the Apostles' Creed. So let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. may be seated. You're always welcome out here, whether it's time or not, don't you know that? Amen? Okay. Let us bow for our time of pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. During the pastoral prayer, I'll ask you to lift up names that you want us to pray for. The one thing I haven't done yet is I got to find a scribe who will write down names as people are asking for them so that we will have them through the week to pray for. We will figure that out this week, okay, and do that.
I got it.
So you'll do it? Okay, so we'll have those names to pray for as the week goes on. So let us begin with silent prayer. Our Heavenly Father, our song that we just sang asked us to breathe in the Holy Spirit. Because you are giving it to us and breathing it into us, but we have to accept because you force nothing on us. You only offer. Because the offering is given to us, we are asked to breathe it in. So as we pray this morning, let us, as the song suggests and as the scriptures suggest and say to us, let us take a moment and breathe in that Holy Spirit into our very being. As we take that Spirit in to be part of who we are, changing us and making us different than anyone we could have imagined to be, let us then, in the midst of taking in that Spirit, learn how to give it away to others. Let us take it and give it away in prayer for healing. Let us give it away in giving food to those who are hungry. Let us give it away, as we have done so well this weekend, giving clothes to those in need, school supplies to those who cannot afford them. Let us, in all that we do, breathe in that Holy Spirit and breathe it out by our actions, our words, our kindness, and our very being towards each other. Help us in doing that to understand the need to love and to care and to offer grace in all places. Now allow us this day as your children, remembering the prayers of Chevrolet, bring them to this place. Remember the prayers of Pleasant Hill and bringing them to this place so that we are praying as family together. Let us now lift up holy names before you that we can be in prayer as the family of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and teach us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. good to see you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. May we take the gift of our being and give it to you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Standing as we sing hymn number 561, Jesus United by Thy Grace. Now you may not recognize the words, but I think you'll recognize the tune.
Thank you.
marching music. Amen. There's a hymn that I know y'all don't plan for. There's a hymn, Lord of the Dance. Y'all remember that song? What number is that? Y'all didn't pay for this next one. This is free. No. What? 261. Turn your hymn book to 261. I promise y'all get to what I'm supposed to do next in a minute. They told me when I was met with the staff parish the first time that when the Holy Spirit told me to do something to do it, and that's what I was supposed to do. Y'all know this song? Y'all don't have to stand up, and you probably want to sing, or if you don't, you're going to listen to me sing a solo, and that's a mistake. Listen to some of this. Let's just for fun. Memory said, I'll sing on what we just did as an anthem. I'll sing on. We did that a minute ago. So Lord of the Dance, look at him. He's ready to go. This is the first verse. You ready? Just join me. If you get your hymn book out, look at the screen. If you've got up there. The first verse says, I danced in the morning. I danced in the morning, danced in the morning, the world was begun, and I danced in the moon, the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and danced on earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Danced in wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you up the dance, said he. All right, stop there for a second. Stop there for a second. Move it forward all the way down to verse 4. Okay, look at verse 4. Can you do that? You're better than I am. Look at that. All right, play again. Let's go. Verse 4. He's getting there. Play on, my friend. Either I'm going to do it solo. Here, ready? There we go. I danced on a Friday when the sky went black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. Behind the cloud I don't, but I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. Live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all the dance, said he. Now, one thing you're going to know right now that I am not David Lord. You can tell by the singing in that. He's got a great voice. But I wanted to do that because today's sermon is going to try to teach us how to dance. It's going to do it in a different way, maybe. But it's going to try to help us learn what dancing means. So here's the scripture. If you have your Bibles, this is Mark chapter 12. We began last week with verse 13, or verse 28, I'm sorry, and we're going to read through 31, but we're just going to read 28 and 31 for the moment. So hear the scripture. Stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the first of all? So we read 29 last week. You remember it. Let's go to 31. Then the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ give us courage to dance, courage to breathe in the Holy Spirit, and courage to be children of God in our fullness. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So here we are, in my I've been here such a long time. This is my fourth Sunday morning, amen. And so we come on our fourth Sunday, and we come to this place, and I want to walk through the past three Sundays, because this will end our first sermon series of my time as your pastor. And here we go. First Sunday was John 3:16. You remember it? John 3:16 said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Is that right? No, it said, for God so loved the world. You're not paying attention. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have. Who does the acting there at the beginning? God does the acting. God sends the son. God does the loving. Our job is simply to receive. The second week, we looked at Micah 6:8. You will remember it. And it taught us to love justice, mercy, and it gave us the ability to show how we should act towards God and towards the world. And it told us to be humble in doing that. So last week we looked at the first part of this, which is the first commandment. And the first part of this commandment said, now love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And that's where it left off. And it taught us, now that we know that God pursues us and we're the ones that ask forgiveness and receive God, and that we learn how to act towards God and the world, it now teaches us to do it with all our being. Every part of who we are, our mind, body, soul, strength, all that you are is to give. And I put involved in that two or three things. One of those was I said to you, y'all really didn't want me teaching on tithing because I don't believe in it. I believe in giving every ounce of yourself and all that you are to God. And God will show you how to do that in a way to support God, support your church, which is supporting God and doing what you're supposed to do, and doing all those things that God leads us to do. And it works in that way of doing that. And then we come to the day, and this is why I want to teach you how to dance. Now, my wife will tell you I don't dance. Okay, so me teaching you how to dance is somewhat of a fallacy, because in our lifetime together, in our 30, almost 38 years together, we have not danced but what? Twice in the living room when nobody was looking. And once, I guess, when Gracie snuck in on us. But anyway, and I tried to get Gracie to dance once. She wouldn't dance with me because she knows I'm painful when I dance with people because I step on their toes and their feet. So we don't do that physical dance, but I'm not talking about physical dancing. I'm talking about spiritual dancing. And there's a huge difference between a physical and a spiritual dance. And so I want to teach you how to do that by learning the lessons of this short part of the greatest commandments. Your neighbor as yourself. Take that little condensed part for a minute. If you've noticed that part that we kind of skip over, because we always dwell on the neighbor. And there's this wonderful story, as you see in the scriptures, it talks about the Good Samaritan and stopping and helping. When Jesus is asked who the neighbor is, he gives this story. And he gives this way of telling us how to help, and the Good Samaritan comes when the other two didn't and ditches him out of the ditch and takes him and cares for him and even leaves him at the hotel with money to care for him. I've always wondered what that story was like if we had the whole story and we saw him coming back and talking to the person after he goes away and comes back and checks on him. I always thought Paul Harvey, those of y'all who are old enough to remember this, ought to have done the rest of the story on that and got that full thing. Those who aren't old enough for that, just forgive me for the reference and go look it up. And so it's right there in front of you. But we don't know the fullness of that story, but we know part of it. But to love your neighbor as self puts us into this small category of how do you love yourself? What do you think of yourself? Do you think you're high and holy? Do you think you're low and not worth? How do you perceive your own being? I mean, we do counseling. Back when I did counseling for a semi-living, we perceived in the counseling that we spent more time with people who were depressed about their own being and their situations than we did anything else. Because there's this great depression across our land that we find people not sure of themselves, and they worry about themselves, and they don't know how their next meal is going to come. They don't know how they're going to live. They don't know who's going to love them, who's going to turn them away. And we have that within our own families. You've got family members that won't accept who you are. And we have church families that won't accept other people because they are something or some way or somehow different in a way that they don't appreciate. And so we have this great care or lack of care, apparently, for people. And then we have to understand ourselves. It took me a long time as a pastor to get past the fact that everybody was not going to love me. All young pastors who come to churches want to save the world within the first 4 weeks of our ministry, so we have nothing left to do. And we want to save the world. We want to fix everything within the church. And we want to make everything right in the kingdom of God. We all come in that way. And the pastor who tells you they didn't come in that way, either A, wasn't called, or B, wouldn't admit it. So we come in wanting to fix it. We fall into the same process of not knowing how to dance with the song God gave us. Now, you all have a song. You all have a being in you. You have a Holy Spirit that's in you, and you have your spirit in you, and we dance to different drummers. We all do. I mean, how unpleasant would it be if we all were the same? I mean, can you imagine a choir filled with all baritones and no other voices? Can y'all imagine that? A complete choir, you got 75 baritones and nothing else. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? At the end of the first anthem, you would be leaving and going to another church. Because you'd rather have 43 kind of bad voices than 75 great baritones. Because you can fix bad, well, except for me. But you can fix. So, I mean, but you can do that. So, you have this understanding that it's this way. Well, we all are different, and that's a glorious thing, but we have to deal with our own differences. And you may say, well, they don't want to deal with my differences. I'm not worried about them. Whoever them is. Have you ever noticed that nobody ever mentions who them is? They don't like this. Well, who's they? Well, I can't say. You know how I interpret that? Anytime somebody comes to me and says, they don't like it, but I won't tell you who, that means the person talking to me doesn't like it. But they want to blame somebody else for it. Is that almost always right? Anybody disagree? I mean, that's how it usually works. Well, to learn to dance, you quit worried about they. And you learn to worry about your relationship with God. It's your relationship with God. Notice that as much as I may want to, and as much as I love to control things, and I've worked on that for like 105 years of my 65 years of life, as much as I want to control things, I'm in control of nothing. So knowing that is two different things. I know it, I can say it all day long, but in my own being, I want to control. How many of y'all want to be in control of your life? I am going on vacation in 3 weeks and you can't stop me. Really? Let's see who can't stop you. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to unfold. You have no earthly idea how things are going to work. So learning to dance, learning to be who you are, and learning to allow that to be how you love your neighbor is a central issue to the moment of life. Now, I like to remember this, even though I really wasn't that good, but I loved playing football in high school. Any other football, high school football players, any of y'all play? Nobody did. I'm the only one here, huh? I love playing football in high school. And so here's the thing I did in high school. I played football on Friday night, and then I coached peewee football on Saturday morning. Y'all ever been around peewee football players? They're like, my group was 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. Okay? Now, let me say something to you, and I want you to hear it the way I'm meaning it. A high school football player to a peewee football player is kind of like just below God walking on the field with him. When you walk out there as a high school football player, they look up at you and go, "That's David. He plays on the varsity." And so I was their coach, and they would do anything for me, but they wouldn't do anything for my assistant coach, my head coach. I was the assistant because he was just a guy. So I walked out, and you can get puffed up about those things. Y'all know what puffed up means? You can get a little proud of yourself. It's like when I became a district superintendent. I got this phone call from the bishop. I was actually doing a funeral, and so I got back to my car, and there was a message. This is James Swanson. If y'all know Bishop Swanson, he had this nice deep voice. James Swanson called me, Tabor. And so I called Mary Lynn first, because what does all good people do when they don't know what's going on? They call their wife to see if they know. Amen. And so I called Mary Lynn, and she said, "Yeah, he called, and he wants you, but I don't know what it is." So I called him back, and he said, and I'm in a 45-minute funeral procession. Catch the picture here. I'm in a funeral procession. I'm heading towards the graveyard from East Ridge, Tennessee, just south of Chattanooga, to Fort Payne, Alabama, down the freeway, going through Chattanooga. Somebody had to be crazy to take that route down, but that's how we went. And so we're going down, and I'm on the phone with Bishop Swanson. And he says, "David, I want you to be a district superintendent." And I said, "Well, Bishop, do I get time to pray about this?" And he said, "I don't know what part of this I thought you think was a question." And I said, "Yes, sir." And then I heard his wife in the background, and she said, "His wife is 5 months pregnant. We're going to ask her if she wants to move pregnant." Of course, by then we had the baby, Gracie, before we moved. And so I got home and we talked about it. And at the middle of talking about this, we accepted, of course, and I went on the cabinet. You know, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. So I looked at Mary Lynn and I said, "Sweetheart, what do you think about being married to a district superintendent?" I'm waiting on these accolades from her, right? How proud she is, how excited she is for me. She looked at me without batting an eye and said, "Honey, the garbage needs to go out and the front yard's not cut yet. Not one thing. And by the way, tonight's your night to do dishes." That was her response to me about becoming a district superintendent. So my huffiness became what? "You still live in this house, boy, and the boss is not you. Those 84 pastors may be afraid of you, but it's not happening here." That's the response. Now, I know she loves me. She's trying to help me see who I'm supposed to be. Well, I want you to think through this. If we're going to love neighbor as self, how do we love ourselves helps us learn how to dance with our neighbor. How we understand our being and our place in God's kingdom helps us dance with the people around us, whether they be, quote, more fortunate than us, less fortunate than us, on the same place, all those things that we define people by. It allows us to dance the way God wants us to dance. Now, but listen to this, and I want you to hear it carefully. We don't dance the same. We're not made the same. We're made in God's image the same, but we hear things differently. I mean, remember the game you used to play as a child, and sometimes you still play it on church council, I think, but listen to the game that we used to play. You say something on one end of the room and you whisper it around to the other end and you ask the last person what was said. Have you ever noticed how it comes out totally different? it's never the same. Why? Because we all perceive it differently. At the end of this sermon, every one of you will perceive what I just said differently. And everybody that's listening over the internet will perceive what I say differently. Because we are made different and yet in the image of God. That is how we are. That is who we are. So to learn to dance with our neighbor is to learn who we are, and then we learn first how to dance with God. You learn, I learn, how we perceive ourselves. So each one of you, thank God, is different than I am. Each one of you live lives different than I live. Amen? Each one of you perceive things different than I do. I grew up in a house where my mama was a Democrat and my daddy was a Republican. And they were staunch Democrat and Republicans. I once asked my mother if Satan was running for office, would she vote for him? And you know what her answer was? Yes. Not one question was it from her different. That was her answer. It was yes. I'm going to vote for this person because they are a certain person. So I turned to my daddy and I asked the question, if Satan was running for office, would you vote for him? Now this next response will get me in trouble. Remember, this is my daddy's response. My daddy looked at my mama. He slept on the couch for 3 nights after this, by the way. My daddy looked at my mom and said, well, only Satan runs for office on that side of that party, not mine. Watch how that unfolds. It's perceived different. That was my house. So that's the family I grew up with. That's how they perceive things. So I always knew that whoever he voted for, she voted for, and they canceled out each other's vote. But I trust you, they voted. And that's what they did. Because they perceived life from a lens that was different. And yet, they are called to the same calling of loving their neighbor as themselves. You have to decide, and you do this with God's help, but you have to do this, and it doesn't matter whether you're 3 or 103. You have to decide, can you dance with God? Can you live with God? Can you love God's people and God's creation from your perspective as God has led you to do so? And have you learned to love yourselves? Have you ever not liked you? Yeah. I mean, I have, haven't y'all? Haven't you on occasion went, I don't know why I did that. I don't even like the person that said that. And yet it was you that said it. You have to learn to like yourself and to love yourself, not be haughty. I'm the football player and they're the peewee guys. Or I'm the new dish superintendent. Or I'm this or I'm that. And you also have to learn not to be, to cast yourself down into lowliness. Oh, I'm not really worth anything. I'm just here. I don't know why God even lets me live. I'm just barely making it through. Don't know why God wants me around anymore. Have you ever heard those things from both sides? See, when you hear that, those are precious people. Both on the haughty side and the depressed, struggling side, those are precious people who are learning how to dance. Maybe their last dance with God in some cases. Maybe their first dance with God. Because we all have to learn to breathe in that spirit and learn to be who God created us to be. My retirement speech at annual conference, that's still online if you want to see it, I don't know why you'd want to, but it's there. They asked us to give advice to new pastors. My response was, be who God called you to be and don't try to be somebody else. God didn't call you to be them. God called you to be you. The same response to you. God did not call you to be anybody but yourself. And God, by the way, did not call Rockwood United Methodist Church to be another church. God calls you to be you. The question is, do you know how to be you to dance with others? Now, yesterday would say, yes, you do. Yesterday would say, you know how to dance that dance. You did it well. So what's the next dance? Because guess what? Here's what always happened. We went, y'all remember sock hops? Y'all remember those? Is anybody old enough to remember a sock hop? Am I the only one around? And the girl asked you to go sometime. Remember that was Sadie Hawkins' dance. The girl asked you to go on the date. Remember that? By the way, I got to ask. I just want you to know that in case you You remember those days you went, and there was a funny thing about the dance. They didn't just play one song. Now, David, that sounds weird. We know that. But the problem is, the church, y'all, the church as a whole, I think we've only learned to sing one song. And indeed, we need to learn to sing many songs. We need to learn what songs God is asking us to sing. And then we need to go sing them. Now, y'all did it with fervor yesterday. But what's the next thing with fervor? Now, when we learn this, here's the next part of this. Once we learn to dance with God and ourselves, then we can truly dance, love our neighbor. But we can't do it till we learn the first part. So here's the closing question. You've watched the three parts of the sermons come to here of this first sermon piece, or the fourth sermon piece now, this first set of sermons. You've watched us get here. Now, if you put them all together, have we learned to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and body? And have we learned to love our neighbor as ourselves? Because until we do that fully, we never fully become God's church. That is the path we go on. We offer this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
The altar is open if you are called to come and pray. find the button. I think I did. Okay, there it is. Here comes Gracie and our adopted grandbaby, Ellie Mae. Amen. Well, friends, go in peace. We start Bible study here on August the 3rd on Wednesday nights after choir practice. It's at 6 o'clock for the Bible study and 5 o'clock for the choir practice. I don't think you would fight people to come join the choir. It'd be okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. And then love it. I'd love to see all of y'all in Bible study. I'm not crazy enough to think all of you are going to show up, but I'd love to have all of you there in Bible study at 6 on Wednesday night. So just keep that in mind on August the 3rd. And then Christmas in July next week. Is it okay if I wear a Christmas tie?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Amen. I got my Santa hat in the office, so we can work on that. I'll put my stocking out, too. But here we go. All right, let's pray together. Now may we go in peace. We know whose we are. We're yours if we accepted you as our Lord and Savior. But do we know who we are? Have we accepted ourselves into the kingdom in fullness? May God's blessing be with us. May God's love go with us. And may we find a peace beyond understanding. Let us go forth in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Got louder.
I thought maybe, okay.
Thinking about one.